Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. Talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes, coming in as we fade out on Aster, Run With Me, Mix 9.9, is that just the ninth version of the mix, or is that the full title of the song?
That would be nice if we had Mix 9.9. Yeah,
that's what it says on the track, though.
That's the date that I printed it on my computer.
Oh, so. I like that. Mix 9.9.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You'll be coming up in a little bit to perform the second half of the show. But I want to welcome back Michael Whitebaum.
You want to try that again?
No, I don't want to try that again. Michael, welcome back to the show. Okay. Michael Whiteman. I'm sorry. Michael Whiteman, welcome back to the show. Third time.
Yeah, and I've been called worse.
You have been called worse. It's a Sunday, so I'm feeling it a little bit today. But we're here to talk trends. And before we talk new trends, we always like to go back and look at the old trends. How did you feel that your predictions went for last year?
My predictions, which I wrote now in 2011 for 2012 and 13, is I don't remember what I wrote. But I would say that they were, if you're asking me to evaluate myself, yes. I would say they were right on.
Yeah. We'll go 100%.
Toot that horn.
More accurate than me saying your last name. So we have the new trends for this year. And before we get into the individual trends, I feel overall that people now have money to go back and eat.
Well, that's the interesting thing. It's not that people now have money to go back to eat. Even when everything went into economic collapse, not everybody ran out of money, and not everybody lost their jobs. It just seemed that way.
But I feel like chefs responded to the menus they created.
They did, because even the people who had a lot of money put it underground for a while because it became obscene just to show how much you had and how much you could spend. So, you know, those restaurants that had mostly bottles of wine in three digits had to reduce themselves down to two digits. But they're all back.
They're all back. I mean, and some are really back. Let's talk about, as we were sitting here, not 50 feet from Blanca, tasting menus and their exorbitant rise in prices. Because a few years ago, Brooklyn Fare was maybe $180 a person.
Yeah.
Now Brooklyn Fare is $300. Plus.
Yes.
Why do you think people are not only flocking these places, but willing to shell out, which is arguably $1,000 a person for a meal for two?
It's not $1,000 a meal per person per two, but it's for two.
For two.
Yes. It can get to that. My wife and I had lunch at Momofuku Co. not long ago, and for lunch, and the bill with a bottle of wine was about $600. So. To answer your question, you're looking at restaurants that have gotten a lot of publicity, that have very little capacity, that have 12, 14, 18 seats. People are going because it's hard to get in, number one.
Right.
So you got bragging rights. Hey, I got in there. And the other is that there's huge amounts of money sloshing around this country to burn. Wall Street is at a high, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been people who've been making huge amounts of money in real estate, in banking, in finance, and they're burning it. And it's not just in New York; this is happening all across the country.
I mean, if we want to talk about an ingredient as well that has also raised its economic profile, chicken, you have mentioned, is now no longer just $7.95 for a quarter. You're looking at $78. For a whole bird?
Yeah, well, it's not Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore. Chicken has gone from a humble bird to a haute bird. And there seems to be a competition around the country to see who can charge the most for a chicken. The idea is that if I'm a chef, going to provide you with the ultimate chicken, that it was raised on gold flex and massaged like Kobe beef, and when all is said and done, it still tastes like chicken. But you and I are going to have dinner together, and this chicken is going to come out with what looks like a Christmas tree up its butt,
yeah,
full of herbs, and it's been burnished to a fairly well, and it's going to have some very interesting side dishes. But you and I are going to spend $70 or $80 for basically a $10 piece of chicken.
Well. Here's the thing. I've had the chicken at Nomad, and it's a delicious dish. It's perfectly cooked. But at some point, I'm going, well, I'm also paying for the truffles. I'm not just paying for the chicken. And I feel like that's when these dishes get sort of just the price tag gets keep bumped up. You're starting to pay for the stuff around the dish.
I've had the chicken at Nomad a couple of times.
Yeah.
And it's kind of okay. There are better chickens in the country. But the add-ons, all the collateral stuff on the side, are not anywhere near costly enough to justify the price of what you're paying. You're paying for the experience. You're paying for the reputation. You're paying for the fact that a whole bunch of food writers have been talking about it, and that you and I are talking about it on the radio. And
absolutely,
tomorrow it'll be more expensive.
What was your favorite chicken?
Done.
What was your favorite chicken dish that you had? That had a hefty.
Famous best chicken dish I've had last year was at Bethany.
Oh, I had that 2 weeks ago,
and I didn't have to have it for two.
No, it was very rich, though.
Oh yes, yeah. Also foie gras.
Also foie gras
and confit chicken and I would imagine a fair amount of what the French used to call butter.
Yeah, or schmaltz as the Jews
yes
like to call it. Really big fan of Bethany. I mean, that's a restaurant where, you know, it stepped out of being in this high pedigree of 11 Madison, and it's on 57th and 6th, and it's run by a relatively young group of guys.
Well, they're expats from 11 Madison.
Yeah, but it's I mean, it's fancy.
It's fancy. The food is elaborate. I find it very well thought out by mm-hmm. the chef. There's nothing frivolous thrown onto the plate.
No. The chef is the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, and so is the general manager.
So that's the general manager.
So if you have a great chef and a wonderful general manager and good food, that sounds like a formula.
It is. It's a formula. It's a great formula. It's very interesting to go up there, though, when you're used to eating downtown. It's a very different crowd.
Yes.
At least at 57.
Yep, yep.
But I feel, in addition to the food, and you touch on this as well, there's an experience. And it goes beyond just maybe a 12-seat dinner. But you talk about one of your trends is, I lost my dinner in the Funhouse. And I'd heard about, I think it was the restaurant in Shanghai. Did you actually eat? It's Ultraviolet, right?
Yeah.
Have you eaten there?
No, I haven't.
Can you explain what Ultraviolet is? Because it sounds... You know, I read it, and I actually said to myself, I would like to go and eat there. I'd like to see what that experience is.
There are a number of chefs, small number, but a number of chefs around the world who are turning food into theater, or dinner into theater, in highly controlled surroundings. And the place that you're talking about, and there's another one in Barcelona and one in Madrid... they're very small. They hold 8, 10, 12 people. The one that we're talking about, you go to an address and you're put into a van and you're taken to a location. You have no idea where the location is. You're blindfolded. You, for all you know, you've gone around the block and gone back into the same place.
Yeah.
And you get into a small room where every inch of the room has been designed and wired so that the walls can change with projection systems. They can change the airflow, the temperature, the lighting. They can project food onto a plate and make it move. And they can pump smells into it. And when I say the environment changes, you're wrapped around 360 degrees plus the floor and the ceiling.
Oh, really?
Yes, and so you can be sitting in the Alps for a first course, and you can be in a cornfield for the second course, and these are all high resolution images. So it's really quite fantastic, because the idea is that they're playing with your emotions while you're eating your food, and the music also is keyed to the food that you're eating. So it becomes a grand total experience for which
you pay.
Spend a lot of money. Yes.
You pay a hefty price.
But you can say, I've done that. I got there.
I went to, I think it was Fritzen and Lieberg in Stockholm. And that was the first time I had any sort of experiential sort of eating, where they give you a cheese course around the world and you're just listening to an iPad.
Yes.
And there's a narration and they take you on a cheese tour through like audio, like a voiceover and background noises as you eat the cheese.
Yeah, Heston Blumenthal in London started that at the Fat Duck.
Okay.
There's a course of, I forget what it is, but it's something with seafood, and it comes with a big conch shell sitting on the table, and in the conch shell is a little microphone that plays the sound of the sea, which is what you hear when you put the shell up to your ear.
I think it adds to it. I mean, I think it's, you have to really go into it. I think you really have to just want to go to that next level. And then I'm assuming the price tag is extremely expensive.
It is, but one of the things that accomplishes is that it divorces you from the world around you.
Yeah.
And it prevents you from looking at your iPhone while you're having dinner. And I'm speaking metaphorically, because it really concentrates all your senses on what you're eating, rather than it's not a distraction. It's an augmentation of the experience.
Another place that's going after experiential, or I guess return to it, are as you mentioned, retail stores, where they're putting high-end restaurants back into their shopping malls and
yep.
department stores. And I guess this was a thing of the past where you would not just go to Saks to shop, but you would go to eat and hang out and have a whole day of it. And then they kicked them out about, what, in the 80s?
Yeah, you used to go to a department store, especially if you were a woman, but men too. They had tea rooms. They had restaurants that were upstairs in the back of the bedding department, because they wanted to suck you up through the store to get to a place to eat.
Right.
And many of these restaurants and department stores were very popular. But for a variety of reasons, number one, they never made any money. Their purpose was to keep you in the store longer. And when retail began to boom 20 or 30 years ago, they got kicked out. The restaurants got kicked out. And, and then suddenly the department stores discovered a few years ago, holy smoke, we kicked all these customers out, and now they're at the food court in the mall. And instead of coming back here to shop, they're going to Victoria's Secret or the Limited or any one of those stores, and now we've lost the customer.
Well, when you get free bourbon chicken at Panda Express.
Yeah, I know. You take all those samples, you just walk around the food court.
Yeah.
Have lunch on samples.
Yeah. Oh, what is this? Oh, I'll try this. That's interesting.
That's good.
That's good.
I'm going to come back for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a theory called dwell time, which says that the longer a store keeps you on the premises, it's not just that you'll spend more, you'll spend more per hour that you're on the premises.
Really?
So, and by the way, theme parks have figured this out long ago. So the longer you spend in a theme park, if you spend another hour in the theme park to eat, you also will cumulatively have spent more everywhere else in the theme park.
Hmm.
So that's called dwell time. At least I call it that. And department stores are now looking at this, number one, to increase dwell time, and number two, department stores, or all retail stores, but department stores in specific, are hurting because of online shopping. So once you put a restaurant back into the store, you now change the experience into something that you can't get online.
Yes. And are these restaurants, they're not just second thought restaurants. They're going after named chefs, good ingredients, destination dining?
Some of it is destination dining. Some of it is just quietly in-store dining, but it accomplishes what I just said because it increases dwell time. Tommy Bahama on Fifth Avenue has a pretty good restaurant in it.
Yeah.
They're not promoting the hell out of it, but it's got a pretty good restaurant in it. And Tommy Bahama has found that those stores that have restaurants in them are twice as productive on the whole store as their retail stores that don't.
Hmm.
So, do a lot of people go to Tommy Bahama for lunch? I don't know. But I know that the people in the store who are there, who do go for lunch, spend more. And part of the theory of that, by the way, is that I've shopped for an hour and I'm tired.
Yeah.
And I sit down and now I've had something to eat and I get up refreshed and ready for another hour of shopping. Instead of just leaving,
going somewhere else. Now, I know they mentioned food courts, but food courts are really, I guess, a thing of the past now, because now we have these amazing food halls that are actually destination places. I feel like not so much Chelsea Market, which is a lot of just like retail stores together, but the one at the Plaza Hotel, mm-hmm. where food is front and center, where it's really all about just eating food. It reminded me of downstairs at Harrods in the food court down right. there. And these are upscale places where you're going, sort of like Italy as well, to go and just spend the day, be surrounded by food and to eat. And they're pricey.
Yeah. Well, the irony of your question is that the first food court in the world was done by our company.
I remember that. That's right.
So we did the first food court, which was at the World Trade Center in New York in 1976. And it was called Eat and Drink. And we saw it as a solution to an urban problem of how to feed a lot of people in a short space of time. And, you know, since we're restaurant consultants, people come to us and ask us what to do, and can we do one of these here and something there? And we discovered that people were coming to us to do food courts, but not in urban areas. They were doing them in shopping centers. Mm. Because real estate developers suddenly took a new view of how food could be used as an anchor or a destination. And once you get enough food courts, they ended up all being the same.
Right.
With fundamentally the same tenants and the same boring food. So, and it spread to airports and every other place where people gather. So now you're looking at the next generation of food court, which, as you say, is the food hall, where the food is generally done freshly. It's generally done by independent people rather than chains. It's people who are turning out food with integrity and food that has its own distinctive flavor. And it's not the same as the one you went to last month.
No.
So you're paying for all of that. You're paying for better ambiance. You're paying for the fact that it didn't come out of the freezer. You're paying for the fact that somebody with skill and talent applied their efforts to your food. And we're now getting calls from people who have food courts who have reached the point of realizing that it's time for the next step.
Hmm. All right. Well, that is the first part. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about 2014 flavors and new genres or rising genres in cuisine.
So hungry.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How hungry?
I could eat a horse.
All right, well, we're going to eat this pizza in the break.
Yeah, let's have the pizza.
Yeah. This is a song from Static Jax called Girl Parts. They are a past Snacky Tunes guest, and you can check them out either through podcast or on our live compilation here on Snacky Tunes on heritageradionetwork.org.
We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to Snacky Tunes. It's a barn burner. Short and sweet. Guy Grove vocal. Been loving it since I was a teenager. We are talking trends today with Michael from Baum & Whiteman, international food and restaurant consultants and inventor of the food court. If we were to say that 2013 was the year of kale, everyone is saying that 2014 is the year of the cauliflower, wow, yourself included. And I have to say, not mad at that.
Well, you know, even I've said that, but it's partially wishful thinking because we're all getting tired of seeing kale in one form or another on a menu. I actually saw it not long ago in a Korean restaurant where they don't grow kale.
No.
But it's one of those things that you got to have. So last year's stars were kale and quinoa. And the irony about quinoa is now that every hipster in the country has discovered it, we're sucking all the quinoa out of the Andes, and the people who grow it, who need it for nutrition because it's full of protein, can't afford to eat it anymore because we've raised the price of it. So we should not eat quinoa. We can eat kale if we want to, but chefs are looking at other things, and the two vegetables that seem to be on everybody's list for this year are cauliflower and Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Brussels sprouts have been around for a while.
Yeah.
They have.
Since Sir David Chang did them with fish sauce and sort of bacon.
Well, I would say he might have been third to the game, but it's close enough since now.
Close enough.
Now everybody's doing it. But, you know, we look at it from a New York perspective. But when you get to the rest of the world, there are vast numbers of people who have avoided Brussels sprouts all their lives, including my daughter, who doesn't like them. But they're being tarted up in one way or another, bacon, honey, maple syrup.
Shaved with pecorino?
Yes. They're being dismembered so the leaves fly apart and thrown into the deep fryer. They're doing everything they can to them. So I see Brussels sprouts and cauliflower coming up. Cauliflower because it's largely neutral, and you can do great things with it.
Yeah, you know, the thing about kale is that after a while you sort of see it in relatively the same forms. I feel like cauliflower is a bit more diverse.
I've seen the same menu item 6 times now. It's a kale version of the Caesar salad on the table here, and it's called Kale Caesar.
Yeah, seen it. Some do it well, some don't.
I know, but you know, when you see it 3 or 4 times, then you know it's over.
You know it's over. I'm going to butcher this, but Terra's Major.
Oh,
would you say look it up? And I looked it up, and it's a mussel.
It's a mussel, and it's Teres Major or Teres Major. It's a mussel. It's a mussel in the meat off the chuck. It's not expensive. You find it, or you used to find it generally in kosher butcher shops because it was from the kosher side of the animal and extremely tender. It also goes by the name of oyster steak for reasons I can't tell because oysters aren't kosher.
Hmm.
As the price of beef goes up and as the quantity of really good beef goes down, the beef people have been searching for new ways to butcher beef in order to find cuts that are tender and easy to sell. And so this one doesn't have a name yet. It's being used by restaurants for in places where they want to serve a tender piece of meat without a name to it.
Hmm.
But it's called Terres Major.
It's a steak.
And it's good.
It's a steak on the menu.
Well, it makes a good sliced steak sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. And so as beef gets more expensive, you say that there's going to be new protein obsessions, different animals going to be taking center stage, if you will. Which animals are stepping up to the plate?
Well, lamb is already there. Goat is stepping up.
Goat
is stepping up. Rabbit is stepping up.
You know, the rabbit at Glacery, favorite dish of last year.
Yes.
Have you had it?
Yes.
It's
super.
It's super. It's great.
But, you know, rabbit is, another
it's a little cute,
rather bland piece of meat that you can do anything to. And for all of the people around today who are fatophobic, rabbit is great because it's got no fat, and unlike chicken, it comes without the skin.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's really. I mean, you got to cook it. You got to cook it so it's nice and tender.
Yes,
tender bunny.
Tender bunny. And also,
by the way, Game is making its appearance not so much in terms of having an elk chop on your plate, but in terms of being ground up into various hamburger meats, because everybody is now doing whatever they can to make their hamburger different from everybody else's hamburger.
I've had Lamburger before. It's okay. But I've never had elk burger.
It tastes like alligator.
Okay, which tastes like chicken.
Which tastes like rabbit.
Oh, man. I've never had a rabbit burger. You would need a good amount of rabbit to make enough rabbit burgers.
No, rabbit would not make a good hamburger.
No.
Unless it was a rabbit.
Just beefed up. So flavor profiles are changing as well. There's a whole new wave of Asian flavors coming out, things we've never seen before, making their way out of Asian restaurants. As they take on the kale, they're also exporting things like shishu and Vietnamese fish sauce, which huge fan of on the show.
Delicious.
We had Kong from Red Boat fish sauce over here.
Yeah.
And that stuff is just, that's pure flavor.
Yeah.
But talk about these new Asian flavors that are coming out.
Well, they're generally ethnic food starts out as being generic. So when you were a kid, when you went to eat Chinese food, you didn't know where it came from in China. It was just called Chinese food. And when you first started to eat Italian food, you went to a restaurant that served quote-unquote Italian food.
Right.
It didn't come from the north, didn't come from the south, didn't come from Tuscany, didn't come from Hunan if it was Chinatown, you were in Chinatown, or it didn't come from Sichuan. As we become more and more sophisticated, all of these restaurants have become highly differentiated so that the food in a northern Italian restaurant in this country doesn't necessarily taste like the food from the south, and the food from a Hong Kong restaurant is not going to taste at all like a food from a Sichuan restaurant or a Taiwanese restaurant. And once they began to specialize and differentiate themselves, then they had to go back and start digging into what the original flavorings were and flavors were, which generally were not available in this country at the beginning. But globalization has now allowed for the import of herbs and spices that you could never get before. And there are tons and tons of them coming out of Southeast Asia. You mentioned shiso. When you used to go to the cheap sushi bar and there was that little green plastic leafy thing separating the fish, that plastic leafy thing is a substitute for a shiso leaf. A shiso leaf has a big fragrance. It's somewhere around the fragrance of a geranium, in my opinion. And so now if you go to a good sushi restaurant, you see it there. But it's got other uses, and it's got other uses not just in Asian flavors and Asian dishes, but you can chop one up and toss it in your salad and change the whole dimension of what you're eating. You can grill a piece of fish on a leaf of shiso, and again change the whole flavor profile.
And then also a little bit closer to us, and actually having come back from Cyprus, Middle Eastern, Mediterranean, those sort of flavors are sort of coming back into the popular. We're taking over where Spain and Greece sort of.
It used to be that we thought about the Mediterranean and the Mediterranean diet and Mediterranean food as being coming from the northern rim of the Mediterranean, which is the Riviera, Spain, Italy, Greece. And we've all forgotten that the Mediterranean has two sides. So on the other side, you have Egypt and Algeria and Morocco. You have Israel, which is a big cross-pollinator of all of these cuisines. So it's the same thing. There's whenever you have economic or political disruption, You put huge numbers of people into migration. There are something like 2 million Syrians who have been displaced by the war there. And I'm just looking at Syrians, 2 million people. They're going to end up somewhere that's not Syria. Then it'll be somewhere in Europe, or they'll be coming here the same way the Vietnamese came here, and the same way all of our grandparents came here. And they're bringing their food with them. And because it's global now, and because you can get anything anywhere, they can bring with them the actual ingredients, and they can get the actual ingredients that they grew up with. So we're seeing a lot of that coming out of the Middle East, where there's huge disruption.
Yeah. I mean, shakshuka is one of the dishes that has come out, which I've loved for years.
Yep.
Which I didn't realize had the same background as what you're talking about now, because I always thought of it as like an Israeli Jewish dish.
It is an Israeli dish, but I've had it made for me in three Arab countries.
Yeah.
We consider it Israeli because they have good marketing.
Yeah.
And for those who haven't had it, it's basically eggs that are poached in a spicy tomato sauce with some chopped onions and some chopped peppers. But that's to demean the dish, because the spicy tomato sauce with the chopped onions and peppers is so fragrant on its own that it doesn't need the eggs.
Well, no, but the egg, poached eggs never hurt a dish.
The eggs make it voluptuous when the runny yolk runs into the tomatoes.
I like it with a nice big piece of grilled toast. That's just my thing. So I know that we could talk for hours and hours, but I want to ask one last question. What are you going to be happy to see fade away this year? What's done? What's over?
Boy, that's a hard one.
You said I saved the curveball for the end of this one.
Yeah, well, you know my feelings about quinoa.
I know your feelings about quinoa.
I'd be glad to see that go. I happen to like kale, but it's time for something else.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of seeing bad renditions of octopus, which seems to be the fish of the moment. Or the sea creature of the moment, because it's generally badly done, and I get the sense that rather than cooking it, they're rubberizing it.
I mean, really good octopus is amazing. Just when it's cooked up, like right at that moment.
Yes,
but it's very sensitive. It's a very sensitive dish.
Well, you've had it in Cyprus.
It's funny though. I was saying in the break, we had it multiple times in Cyprus, and one time was perfect. One time was exactly like cooked, right olive oil, right seasoning. It just came out and it was great. And the other few times, maybe 30 seconds, a minute too long. And that's all it takes.
Yep.
That's all
it takes. And it's expensive.
It's very expensive. I mean, two tentacles will run you.
I know. Two tentacles will run you a whole dish of fried calamari.
I know.
Which is more fun to eat.
It's more fun to eat. Are you a rings or are you a legs guy in calamari?
Legs.
Oh, I'm the tentacles guy.
Yeah, I love the tentacles.
You can have all the rings that you want.
I like the tentacles, mostly because most people don't eat them.
Well, I like them because, they're left over on the plate. And the other is they have a lot more texture.
I was going to say, they have different points of texture in that small piece because the ends are really, really crisp, and then it gets a little chewier in the center. It's great.
Yeah.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming back.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I love how this is. I can say 3 years now; it's a tradition.
Well, you know, if I did my trends report twice a year, could I come back twice as often?
You absolutely could.
That's an incentive because the pizza is good.
The pizza is good. But I want to thank you. So, where can people find this trend forecast?
You can go to www.baum.com.
Beautiful.
Or they can email you and you can tell them.
That's true. But no, we would have to have listeners to email us.
Wait, no one's listening?
Maybe. I don't know. We never know. Heritage never tells us our numbers.
There may be a reason.
I'm looking at you, Jack. Well, I want to thank you. It's always great. We will plan on having you again next year, either December or January, to talk. God, 2015. Do you have any predictions yet?
For 15?
Yeah.
May we all live this long.
Yes, may we all live this long. So we're going to play a track from the Orwells, Who Needs You, who probably have the most talked about performance of the week if you see the Letterman clip. I don't know if anyone's seen it, but It's pretty funny right at the end. So here we go. The Orwells, Who Needs You? Aster coming up next, live on Sacky Tunes. Oh, man. That's also a jam. It's all about jams today. So, Aster, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pop duo, according to Fader.
Yeah.
It's accurate.
Accurate. Yeah. Why don't you introduce yourself, say what you do in the band.
What's up? I'm Zoe. I'm a singer.
Sweet.
I'm Adam. I'm the music.
Ooh. That's good.
You're
the music.
The music?
Well, you know, I got this.
I would argue that.
Yeah.
I'm in the music too.
Yeah, you're in the music. I do beats and tracks.
You're the beat
and stuff.
Guy.
Yeah.
Let's talk origin story. How'd you two meet?
Tinder.
No, oh my God. No, he's kidding. He's a joker.
Oh,
don't listen to him.
Thank you so much.
Yoga class, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's equal to Tinder, I would say.
It's still weird.
Still weird. Were you doing some Bikram and you're like, I like your chance, girl.
No, but that's a fun
story.
That's
what people want. They want it. People want to visualize that. It's far less graphic.
It's more like over a green juice in the cafe.
I can't believe. I mean, when I work out, I want to be as far away from anyone who I might actually get involved with.
Absolutely.
Socially.
You're like sweating and disgusting.
I mean, I'm a Jewish man. It's not
about that.
Pretty. It is not pretty. So you guys went over yoga class. Over green juice,
mm-hmm.
Which is also a trend.
There was probably
definitely a big trend.
Pressed juices, it's huge.
There was kale. There was kale on that juice.
Definitely.
I bet you there was. Mm-hmm. So you met and were you like, I like your downward facing dog. Do you want to make music together?
We had a friend in common, but that's a good story. I like that story better. Like,
I mean, these are all freebies.
They all paint me as like the creepy guy because that's what people want. It's like, oh, you know, guy trying to meet a girl in a yoga class. Yeah, like I like that. I like the way you flex in that. You know, it's not
like that.
I'm not that guy.
You're not that guy.
I'm respectful.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm ambitious, but I'm respectful.
I noticed your form, but in only a platonic way.
Purely technical and
purely technical.
It's all business here.
Like the way you stretched. Let's make beats.
Yeah.
So you guys met, and when was this?
2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. And how did the project evolve? You know, how did you go from saying like we should sit down and do something to actually sitting down and doing something?
We just saw each other like a bunch of times through these mutual friends, and then we knew that we were both into writing, and we just started writing other shit. And then over time developed into more of a unique sound. And I think it was exciting for us to do something different and not have to be in a box creatively.
Do you find that it's tough to break out into a new sound being a duo who meets in yoga class living in Brooklyn, I'm assuming?
Well, thank God we're not doing new age music because we wouldn't break out with anything.
Oh, my God. That'd be really funny. We make new age music for Brooklyn yoga classes.
Like, wouldn't you assume if you're like, yeah, I met my musical partner in a yoga class.
Kirtan
like,
right, band.
Tablas. Sitar.
You got a tabla sound on that MPC?
Yeah, you know, we got that. You know.
So 2-3 years ago, you got this new sound. And when did it sort of click from being like, this is something that we really want to stick with and pursue? We really like working with each other.
I think like 6 months to a year into doing it, probably like a year into doing it, we've been carving away what we don't like. And then
which is tough.
Super important.
Super important.
Equally important to fail a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And then get to what you do like creatively and kind of go to our roots, which are like house music and hip hop.
Well, let's hear those roots. Live song. You want to kick it off?
Holla.
What track are you going to play?
Well, we're going to do a song called We Fall Down, which is on our EP that comes out on Tuesday.
Awesome. Ooh.
Ooh.
We'll talk about your Rex Manning day after this song.
Swallowed way far down. All of my love's been lost before. I've been stomped into the ground. I'm a ghost bitch, I'm a feel shit. I can't have this on my way, no way. I'm a cool kid, I'm a fool this. In addition, on the way to nowhere. We fall down. Come and let me, come and let me. We fall down. We fall down. Come and let me, come and let me. We fall down. Skins we shed before. I've been bled out in the crowd. What the hell I've been waiting for? Paint my troubles in the ground. I'm a ghost bitch, I'm a feel shit. I can't hide this on the way to nowhere. I'm a cool kid, I'm a fool, this inhibition on my way to nowhere. We fall down, come and let me, come and let me. We fall down, ooh, ooh, ooh. We fall down, come and let me, come and let me. We fall down. Following the way, fall down. Come lay me, come lay me. We fall down, yeah. We fall down. Come lay me, come lay me. We fall down,
Nice.
Thank you.
How? Where is that song in your canon? Was that an early written song, mid, late, new?
It was mid.
Mid.
Super mid.
Super mid. Have you lost a lot of the early stuff? Throwaways? Any song that survived?
There's this song, Razor, that like can't die no matter what we do. It's like repackaged in this EP. No matter how old it is and how much we want to let it go, the label, everyone's like, that's your song. Gotta keep it going. The fans, they love it.
The song that won't die.
The song that we like hate to sing, you know?
That's hey, man, gotta give the fans what they want.
Gotta
if people
do it.
Want it, you gotta serve it, you know?
So, speaking of giving the fans what they want, it is your very personal Rex Manning Day on Tuesday.
Holla.
Holla. Five song EP.
Six song EP.
One cover, five originals.
Five originals. And one of those is shout out to Drake, who killed it on SNL last night.
Oh, I heard he didn't do a very good Jay-Z impression, though. Someone tweeted that. I didn't see anything.
Yeah. I mean, they worked him.
But he's a funny guy.
I need to watch it tonight.
I mean, whenever they have a real performer, that's when L does its best. I mean, he was in literally, I think, every skit except for one.
Wow.
I need to watch
and
this.
And he did a very soulful cover of Hold On, We're Going Home, which you...
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Which you cover.
Yeah.
What's it like covering Drake?
It's always good, you know? We love Drake.
Who does? Yeah.
But it's a timepiece. It's like it's had its moment. I feel like we need to start scrubbing up our new cover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We do, you know, someone, you know, we'd like to monitor what the chatter is online, you know, to see what the people are talking about.
Yeah.
And someone tweeted at us and they were like, you guys are a great Drake cover band or something like ridiculous like that.
We're like, we got to go. We got to move forward.
That's it.
That was a wrap.
So, five songs, five originals, mm-hmm. one oldie but goodie.
Fair.
One middle canon. What about the rest of the three songs?
Bangers.
We Fall Down, that's MIDI, right? Are You With Me? Later.
Yeah.
More later. Operate. Mid.
And
Blue Hawaii is the newest on that EP.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, writing process, recording process. What's your culinary inspirato? You guys drinking tea, eating sandwiches, cooking pasta?
Love that you asked that question.
It's a great question. Well, you know, oftentimes in the studio, you don't really have time to prepare a meal, but that's one of the things. We were working out in the Hamptons at a house.
As one does.
In the summer, and, you know, food was front and center in that experience. So, you know, we'd rehearse, we'd write, we'd
$100 pound lobster salad?
You know, it was a rental house, and they didn't have, like, a pepper grinder, so it was very, like, limited materials, but we made.
Who doesn't have a pepper grinder?
It's really a shame.
Slim pickings. Let me just brief. But Adam is an amazing chef.
Really
amazing. He's also gluten free.
Well, I just ate this slice of pizza.
Well,
are you gonna pay for that later?
You're gonna pay for that.
Yeah, it's a small price to pay for just a big bit of joy.
Oh my gosh.
We're foodies. We love good food, so we're on.
What do you eat? What do you cook? I mean, so you just don't make beets. You cook them as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I hate to eat beets. Ironically.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like beets are going to have their moment.
Where are we at with the beets on the trend chart?
Actually, they've been around for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Beets have had their day. No?
You know, it's not like the beets your mother made from the can.
Right.
No.
So you just put some olive oil on some beets, put them in aluminum foil, and roast them.
Fabulous.
And it's a different animal.
And they're mm-hmm. so beautiful, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good. They're just packed with nutrients, too.
Beautiful.
What do you cook?
There's a few staple things. Like, we had a big taco night the other night.
Not a basic taco night, might I add.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I had all the accoutrements, like a nice a pineapple mango salsa.
Okay.
Some I marinated some cabbage and onion with, you know, some rice vinegar, and sort of had some sort of interesting component, so it wasn't a straight-ahead taco thing. I like Southeast Asian stuff.
He's
I have
super
a nice
serious.
Coconut mussels that I do.
I love rice vinegar, mm-hmm. cooking that type of stuff.
Absolutely.
Whenever I do a slaw, it's like rice vinegar and sesame seeds and cabbage and things like that.
Yep.
It cuts through. It just brightens everything
up. We do a lot of
cabbage. And it's simple to do, and you can make a great statement when someone comes over to eat. They're like, oh, why'd you do this? And you're like, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Well, also, it's something that you can prep, you know, with good cabbage, and you wrap it nice and tightly. It'll and some nice acid in there. It'll stay like a day, and it gets even better.
Yeah, and red cabbage is like in my fridge all the time right now.
It's good. It's such a beautiful, beautiful ingredient. Really mm-hmm. pops.
And hearty.
Very hearty. Mm-hmm. But what did you, what did you eat during the recording process?
You know, during the recording process, we have Thai food all the time. When we're on tour, it's the hard part.
Well, of
course.
That's
like the issue is like we have to plan way far in advance because we're on the road. And we're like, Whole Foods, anywhere. We need to eat something good or I'm going to feel awful on stage.
I know. It's
kale
tough.
Salad? Anybody? Kale?
Yeah, kale salad.
Only thing vibrant going on here.
It's, I mean, at least fast food places have, in the last year or two, started to have, like, a healthy nod. Like, you can sort of find a salad or a healthy option.
We got a burrito the last rest stop
Baja Fresh.
Baja Fresh was, like, the healthiest option.
Baja Fresh.
It saved us on that moment.
It was the best option.
It really was.
It's not bad. It's, I mean, of all of them, it's not.
That's, like, the healthiest.
It's nothing special.
It's nothing special. It's, being on the road is tough.
Really tough. You need to get, like, a bullet blender to, you know.
Actually, I knew a kid in a band, and he was, like, he was the singer, so all he did was he had a cooler with, like, his vegetables, his carrot sticks, and one of these bullets, and they'd stop at a Walmart, and he'd go find a plug, and he'd make his
smoothie?
Like, smoothie while the band was eating, like, fries and
about
pizza
it.
And stuff. And
get that spirulina powder. Yeah. Bien.
All right, let's hear another track. do you guys want to make a smoothie real quick? You guys want to blend some?
Let's blend some.
We'll blend some of the Caesar. What's the next jam? What's the next track?
Operate?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Operate from our EP out on Tuesday to all the listeners out there.
All four of you.
I'll be the one. I'll be the one. I'll be the one.
Nice. Cool. Beats.
Beats for days.
Beats for days. So how was your show at Westway on Thursday?
Oh my god, it was amazing.
Were there strippers?
I think like I was the stripper.
Oh yeah?
No strippers. No, we were dancing hard. And it was packed. It was awesome. The laser lights there at Westway are incredible and the sound's dope.
We always have a good time there.
We always do.
What's a live show like for you two?
A live show is like...
Is it the two of you?
It's just the two of us. Okay. Adam plays his drum kit.
Are you standing? Standing,
yeah,
drum kit?
Standing. And I'm like dancing like a 90s aerobics teacher.
Really?
Something like that. Yeah.
She, I think someone referred to her as Sex on a Stick after the show.
That was cute.
I think that one's gonna stick around.
Sex, I don't know about that.
All right.
I might have to veto.
Yeah, veto that.
I'm gonna veto.
That veto.
Thanks so much.
So what do you got coming up? So the EP comes out. What's the game plan?
Well, you know, it's more of the same basically, because you know, yeah, we gotta promote this thing and
get this out there.
I don't know. I think we got some trips coming up.
Yeah, we're gonna be in LA. San Fran.
We're very new, so it's still about, you know, getting people to discover us.
It's a crowded field out there.
Yeah. It's hard to stick out, so I think I'm going to grow my hair a little bit longer.
Really?
just so I'm not, you know.
Cause a commotion.
Yeah.
New York's finest.
So you get a tour. Big tour or just like targeted cities?
We're doing that one-off stuff right now, but big tour starting after South By probably.
Like getting in the van, going on the road?
Well, you know, I don't think we're going to be doing we're going to try to incorporate some glamour into it. If possible.
It's not a luxurious job.
I mean, you could tour just in a normal car, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for us, but somewhere in my heart, it's not in a van. It's not in a sweaty van with a bunch of dudes.
Well, isn't it just the two of you and like a manager?
Yeah, like a smart car maybe.
Oh my god. Yeah. that would be.
We could get smart car to sponsor the tour and just tour around the country.
Hey.
A guy and a girl in a smart car.
Man, that would be both literally and figuratively tight.
Yeah, very tight. Very, very tight.
Sleepy comes out, you're going to play some shows. Are you pumped?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of good buzz behind it.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm excited, too. I think
next chapter. Minus the Drake cover and the song That Won't Die.
Yeah.
Are you so excited to play these songs?
Totally.
Yeah.
We love, especially Blue Hawaii. Like, these are the newer... They're still exciting.
That new
on that.
Not that
yeah,
old
it's
old.
Fun. And we're excited to get this album done too. So we're working on that and
an LP.
Beyond, yeah, we're full length, getting it ready. So
are you repackaging the song again? Or
yeah, we're all the same songs will be on the album, so we only have to do like two more new songs.
No,
all new.
We
stuff.
Have a lot of new shit. We're excited to share.
Can you say shit on the radio?
Yeah,
you said it twice now.
You can absolutely say shit on this. Okay. It's the internet.
Thank you so much.
Because when I heard
much.
You say shit before, I wasn't sure if you could say that.
And now we're talking.
And then
about
you said shit again.
And you said it like five times now.
Yeah. They don't love it. And we try and be parent friendly. Oh, I'm getting thumbs up from Jack. He's totally cool.
All right, cool.
he's totally cool.
The ratings have just gone up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now
we have
six,
five people now.
Six listeners.
I wish you told me that before.
I know. Well, we get you here with the promise of free pizza and wine. Not so much for the listenership. Well, we're at the end already. I mean, we do these Sunday shows, just they could go on for forever. But we're going to have to wrap it up. So what are the nuts and bolts? Where can people find you online? Where can they get the EP? Where can they see you next?
Our next show in New York is going to be on February 8th at Brooklyn Bowl.
Oh, man.
Ooh. And
best showmanship. Those people have the best hospitality.
Come out and dance with us.
Yeah. You're going to bowl a little?
Well, you know, I think we might have to.
Some fancy footwork might be involved.
By the way, bowling shoes make great dancing shoes.
Oh, yeah.
You can slip and slide all over the place like Jackie Wilson.
Hey, big tip, either get there really early and eat or just eat afterwards because none of their food is good for performing.
Right, yes. right, right.
Yes. So February 8th.
So And the EP, you know, you can find us online. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on SoundCloud.
Aster.tv is our website.
Spell it out, though.
Aster.tv. Thank you so much.
Where'd you get that name?
Aster. I love that you just asked that at the end. Aster, Aster Place, New York, all day. Represent.
That's what I thought.
But also some mythologies involved. We don't have to go into that.
We're kind of geeks about stuff, so.
That's all right.
We can get nerdy.
Yeah, we get nerdy. We get nerdy on the show.
I'm into it. It
gets a little nerdy. It gets a little deep here. So what are you going to take us out with?
Are you with me?
Are you with me?
Oh, so full circle.
Which is the song, by the way, not to correct you. I wouldn't ever want to correct you on your own show, but well, you said Run With Me when you played it before. And
I just
wanted to clarify to the listeners that it's Are You With Me in case you're trying to find it online right now. Oh, you don't have a song called Run With Me.
Two mistakes in the first 4 minutes of the show.
Sunday.
That's, amen.
That's the other thing. When the shows were on Monday, I was like in the work week at a point. Now I'm a little...
No, it's casual. It's chill. I think the audience appreciates it.
Well, anyway, Jack's got my back. He'll clean it all up and post and non-print and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much. Shout out to Greg, who's out in L.A. Looking forward to seeing him at the end of the month. Michael, as always, until later this year, or if you do decide to do 2014 and a half, we'll see you then.
Sounds good to me.
And nice to meet your daughter. And say hello to your mother / wife.
Say hello to your mother
for
me.
Hello, daughter. Hello, mother / wife.
Yes. All right. Thanks so much. We'll be back next week. I think All Four Simone's going to be in the house.
Oh, wow.
And Lee Schrager. It's Blast from the Past. It's going to be two very good guests. Thanks for listening. Happy MLK Day tomorrow. Hope you have the day off to hang, reflect, do all those things.
No. It's work as usual.
Work as usual?
I mean, acknowledge the holiday in my own way. And then back to the
drawing
board.
On that GRND?
Grand, baby.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know how we do.
Oh, and shout out to Tinder for sponsoring the...
Tinder and Smart Car sponsoring the tour.
Yes, sponsoring the tour. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Well, you won't see us. You'll just hear us.
Shot we so low. Smoke to the ceiling. Wide awake next to me. No conversation. Now are you with me? Are you with me now? And are you with me? We could be so much better, long as we got each other. Long as we got each other, we could be so much better, long as we got each other. Play hide away, fall into pieces. Now are you with me? Now you with me now? And now you with me? Long as we got each other, we could be so much better. Don't make your life away. Don't make your life away.
much better. Long as we got each other, yeah. Long as we got each other, it could be so much better. Long as we got each other, then it'd be life for me.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.